But we are here in this fifth or sixth day of this novena, and we hear again Jesus saying that we are to be prepared. And Peter asked that question, you know, is this for us, I mean the apostles, or for everyone? Jesus doesn't really answer that question, but really it is for everyone. Because at the end he says, you know, those who have been given much more will be expected than those who have given them less. So it is for everyone, but at different levels. Those who don't believe at all are still expected to, in a sense, be prepared by the way they live their life. But those who believe, something more. Amongst those who don't believe, those who are leaders, more is expected of them than those who are followers or workers. Amongst those who believe, it's the same thing. Those who are leaders, more will be expected because more has been given than those who are followers or the workers. And so what is it that Jesus is expecting of us? To be prepared, what does that mean? And he says, at the end, really, what that is. To do the Father's will, or as he puts it, the Master's will. That is to be prepared for the return of the Master. And that image that he gives of the master of the house with the servants is a very easy one to recognize, to relate to it. And maybe we don't have our own servants, but we've known people maybe who have had them. There's been enough talk about it, so we can recognize it. And so to choose God's will. And those who do not do that, there are consequences. Those who do that, there are rewards. And we can understand this also very easily through our world, our experiences in the world. There are different kinds of institutions in the world, whether it be social institutions or, you know, business things. And those who are in charge of them are expected to follow the bylaws and the rules and regulations. And if they don't, then it really makes it easier in some way for those beneath them to fail to follow as well. Because they say, well, you know, you're doing it, I'll do it too. It's okay. This is what we call the sin of scandal. Although everyone is supposed to follow it, and when we do, there are rewards. People are happy. They ask you to continue being the boss or to continue leading the organization. Same thing in our political world. We have different kinds of government structures, different levels of them. And, you know, whoever's at the top, whether we call it a parliament or a republic or a democracy, a president, a prime minister, are expected to follow certain rules and constitutions and bylaws and all that kind of stuff. And if they don't, then those beneath who are also expected to follow them can in some ways find it easier not to follow those laws. And or they can also punish those at the top for failing to do it, to investigate them and then to toss them and get some new ones. Well, it's the same in the church. And it's more important in the church because there more has been given, faith, and to understand, to know, to have especially that gift of faith, and to choose God's will. Again, if the leaders fail, and there are leaders at all levels, then that scandal can make it easier for others to choose also to not follow what God's will is, just to do it because maybe it's just all fake. But when we do follow it, then we lead others to that will as well, to accept God's will in their life. That is one of the rewards, to know that we are leading others to goodness, to hope, to healing. But for when we, you know, so we cannot do this on our own, however, and so Jesus, at the end of all this, is really giving us that encouragement. The reward to be with the Master, always. That is the great reward, that these crosses that come with God's will are not forever. They will pass. But because we are weak and we do find it difficult, and again, we have people around us who may or may not follow God's will, which is means to serve, to love, to remember to love God and love neighbor no matter what is happening, to follow the example of Jesus on the cross, to give of ourselves. He helps us. One of those helps is what we are celebrating in this decade of prayer, the saints. We've got St. Luke and St. Jude interceding for us, reminding us of, by their example and also through their prayers, that God sustains those who are faithful, who desire to be faithful. Luke reminds us that God does heal, and Jude that God is always, there is always hope. And we have various difficulties in life, crosses to carry, and this decade of prayer, we're remembering those with various kinds of mental illness, mental incapacities, which are in all different levels, that they too can carry their cross, that they too can do God's will. And through the intercession of the saints, through the help of those around them, Luke reminds us that God has given us the medical professions to help people, and to the social professions that help people. Jude reminds us always that even when we seem to be without hope, we can always go to God. And I have met people in various institutions or in their homes who suffer from various mental illnesses, incapacities, whether it be compulsions or phobias or real like depression, who have requested the sacraments, visits from priests or Eucharistic ministers, who want to read the Bible or go to church to strengthen them, to carry this cross, because they too can serve God, can bear witness to God's love. And so as we reflect on Jesus's call to be ready always, we ask him for those various helps, including his body and blood, which we'll celebrate in a little bit, that strengthens us, that as we receive him, we become more and more like him, that we will not be defeated by our anxieties, our worries, that our friends and family members, our co-workers who suffer from these can be strengthened, and that through the intercessions of St. Luke and St. Jude, Our Lady, and our own humble intercession, that they may be faithful to God's call to take up their cross, to follow the Lord, who will lead them into that great promise, which is eternal life.